again, but it's just easier to look up. Please don't stop playing. Guys, come and receive the offering. Since you were standing, I assumed you were the appointed. Lord, we just want to say your name is holy. I believe this is a people that's being raised up. This is a church that's being raised up for a purpose, a mission, an assignment. People who will stand in the face of adversity and declare your name is holy. People who will stand in the face of a tornado and declare your name is holy. People who will stand in the face of whatever storm happens to be moving in their direction and will declare your name is holy. And there are people tonight who are getting the message. There's a revelation happening on the inside of people, and I know why you've changed some things around in the message tonight, Lord, is because there's people who are getting a revelation that they will stand in the face of sickness and declare your name is holy. They will stand in the face of where it appears that there is lack, there is a symptom of sickness or a symptom of lack, and they will declare your name is holy. And Father, I thank you that this is not something that I desired to do or Faye desired to do, but you said to do, so I know it's your ministry. I know that you abundantly supply all of our need according to your riches and glory. And I think it was David that said, I will not be moved. And they wrote a song about it. I shall not be moved. We will not be moved. The only thing we adhere to, Lord, is your word. Your word says for the people and for this ministry that our need, all of our need, is met according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We stand on that and we thank you for it, Father. We just thank you that this offering and our giving tonight is blessed. Amen. Go ahead, guys. Clear that stand off there, Debbie. Clear the stand off. Let me have that. And Janae, I'm going to have your stool, please. I know it's technically mine, but it's on loan. That's the one. That's the one. We got to be careful of that one. That one's dangerous. That one right there. We got to watch out for. I actually think I brought with me when we started this ministry one of these stands. I think it's the one that Greg uses. Man, I preached off that. That was my pulpit for years. And it doesn't act like these others, but it's had a lot of training. Some of these others are still being broke in. Well, I'm glad the Lord knows what He's doing, don't you? Or aren't you? I actually had to stand there as in the presence of the Lord. And you know, I say that, I don't mean anything, you know, super spiritual about it, but I mean, we ought to live in the presence of the Lord, right? And so I was going to get up here and say that the notes that I handed out really don't mean anything, but they do. It's just that only a section of them means something because the Lord made some changes. Now, if I'm in the right spot, wrong spot, I can move. If that mic needs to be shut off, okay. then I'm obviously in the wrong spot. Can you believe that? Okay, so I'm good. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Keep me posted, would you, guys? Because I'll need to know if I have to rebelliously lead. That's not true. If I have to lead worship Sunday morning, we have an alternate list, so we're prepared. But brother, you know angels travel with you, right?
Yes, sir.
If you don't, let your wife tell you about it. You know, God wasn't just moving to the degree that He was tonight with no purpose in mind. God's up to something. God's up to something. Well, this is going to be part two. I guess I need to move, don't I? I don't know what the deal is. I should have went back. Oh, no. It doesn't bother me. Yeah, I'm good till there's ice on the ground. So next Thursday, not by my choosing, but by the direction of the Holy Spirit, next Thursday will be part three, because we're not going to teach all this tonight. It's not really that much, I didn't think. Let's make our declaration, and then we're going to go right into the Word. Raise up your Bibles or your notes and make this declaration. Say it with me like you mean it. I believe this is God's Word. I choose to believe what it says. Because God does not lie, His Word does not lie. I choose to live His Word and believe His Word. I believe God will do for me exactly what His Word says. I believe it and I receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time we started talking about the story in Matthew 8, which we're not going to reiterate much tonight, of how the leper came to Jesus and asked Jesus to heal him. And Jesus actually wasn't supposed to touch him according to the law. But he did anyway, and the leper got healed. I don't believe Jesus was rebellious, but I love how he just did whatever the Father told him to, no matter who liked it. And I really think that's how we ought to be, is do what the Father says and only say what the Father tells us to say. I think those two things are so key in Christianity today. But what I want to do for tonight is just go right to Galatians chapter 3, your third set of scriptures down, and then we're going to stop before we get to the bottom of the page, and that'll be all for tonight. I feel like I have received specific instructions from the Lord about tonight. Galatians 3, verse 13 and 14. And it's funny that this came up tonight, and it's been coming up through different mediums all week. But it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Let's look at that again. Christ has. Very positive. It's in a past tense sense. Christ has, it's done, redeemed us from the curse of the law. So how many know you could say there, I'm redeemed? Amen. Okay? And it says, having become a curse for us. So the way that we got redeemed from the curse of the law is Jesus became a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And the reason why comes next in verse 14. That the blessing, everybody say the blessing. The blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Jesus Christ, or we could say through Jesus Christ, through our relationship with Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So why are we redeemed from the curse of the law? Well, it's because that sin brought the curse. Now, you don't have to read much. Well, it would be good for you sometimes just to take Deuteronomy chapter 28 and read it. We talked about the other day how that the blessing was the shorter part of the chapter and the cursings was the longer part of the chapter. It's not that God was trying to scare us with the cursing, I don't think, but the reality is this, is that the curse of the law brought all of that stuff, and he did that. The curse, here's what the curse did. The curse prevented the blessing from coming to us. So it's important that we don't do things that to where we operate under the curse. I believe that we're that smart. But Jesus became the curse. And here's why Jesus became the curse. Jesus became the curse so the blessing could come on us. Plain and simple. Jesus became the curse so the blessing could come on us. The curse was removed so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. When Paul said, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree," he wasn't just saying that, but he was speaking about something that came out of Deuteronomy 21, verse 23, which is prophetically referring to Jesus dying on the cross and being buried in our place as our substitute. And man, Sunday morning, are we going to have fun when we talk about the substitute. My goodness, I'm excited about Sunday morning. But this verse says, "His body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is accursed of God." That's not a very healthy wording, but that's how they seen it then. And again, we're talking about the Old Testament, particularly the Old Covenant. But notice this. It says, "Christ has, past tense, redeemed us from the curse of the law." We are redeemed. Now, I want to talk about this because I really feel a strong direction from the Holy Spirit to talk about what the curse was. The curse was threefold. It's the three main areas that people struggle with today. It's the three main areas that mankind has struggled with for eons of time. It was sin, it was sickness, and it was poverty. So do you see that the world struggles with poverty today? But do you know who should not be struggling with poverty? The church. Do you know who struggles with sickness? The world does, don't they? And do you know who should not be struggling with sickness? The church. And the same thing is true with sin. You can talk to any group of people, and I get these questions a lot, especially from other pastors around the world. Why does God allow sin, the way that people sin and do things, why does God allow that? Well, it's not God allowing it. It's the free will of mankind. But Christ redeemed us from that. Psalm 107, verse 2, which I like this because, again, Galatians says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Psalm 107, verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom God has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." So we have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Remember again that when we were in sin prior to our conversion, but particularly prior to the cross, the whole world belonged to Satan. In other words, he had control over people's minds. Read the Old Testament. See for yourself. But the truth is this, that when Jesus came, he gave us a free will. Now, I just wrote a devotion about that free will, and the truth is sometimes having a free will can be dangerous for some people. People think that God ought to have the will, that God ought to make all the decisions for us. Well, I kind of think that he has made the decisions, but not everybody's willing to abide by the decisions. People tell me this, why does God allow such and such? Why doesn't God just make a ruling? Why doesn't God just stop sickness? Why does God just let people do without? It's not God. You have, you know, I remember again, I have to tell you this, I remember again as a young minister that I became angry with my pastor that married Faye and I, who was our first pastor as a couple. And when I got into some revelation a little over 30 years ago, and I started preaching what is really some of the things that I still preach today, I didn't know they were Word. I thought the Bible was the Word. I didn't understand. I just knew that nobody ever told me. Well, God was telling me then and there. But I became angry with my pastor from years before. Why didn't he tell me this? And I'll never forget it as long as I live. I heard the voice of God say, "You had a book, didn't you?" What God was saying is, you had a Bible. You could have gotten there and found out for yourself. And that's really what was happening to me. And so that's just awesome. So we've been redeemed. And he said that the redeemed of the Lord should say so. Remember the song, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so"? I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. You know, when the enemy's on your back hassling you, and he doesn't literally get on your back, that's an expression. He can't get beneath your feet, and like Wendell said, he doesn't even want to think of him that close. So wherever he is, you ought to just, when you just feel that little pressing, you ought to just say, "I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed." And if you have to keep saying, "I'm redeemed," you know, you can say it and say it. Just keep saying it, because you are redeemed. So the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse. Now, I want to ask you three questions, and I did leave them in the notes, maybe not intentionally. But one, are you convinced that you're free from sin? There are some people that are not convinced. Just talk to the body of Christ, hear different ones, and we're still preaching all that curse and all that pressure. I love something I heard Joseph Prince say this week, and I want you to please understand that I'm not trying to make a god out of Joseph Prince or anybody else that I mentioned. But I heard Joseph Prince, him and his wife was on, they call it holiday. In America, we call it vacation. In Canada, maybe you heard this, and he was watching a particular program on television, and it was a preacher preaching, who was preaching a bunch of condemnation and negativism. And how many know that still happens today? And he began to complain to the Lord. Why are people like this on television? I want to tell you that just a word up. They didn't have their television ministry then, so this was a few years back. And he said, "God, why are people like this on television preaching all this condemnation?" And he said, the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, "Because more of people like you are not on television." Okay? And so that kind of it may explain to you the passion that I have for getting the word out. It, whatever means comes along, I'm just hungry to get the word out. So, are you convinced that you're free from sin? Well, Romans 6:14, the scripture there says, "For sin shall not have dominion," dominion meaning the authority to rule over you, "for you are not under the law but under grace." Now, we taught on that in our series on grace here a while back. But sin cannot possibly be the reason that you do what you do if you have an issue, okay? You can blame it on everybody else. You can blame it on your upbringing. You don't know how many times in a moment of pressure I have thrown it, "But you don't know how I was raised." Not a good enough excuse. Sin can't control you. Sin has no dominion over you, does not have the authority to rule over you. What we do of our own free choice. Because one thing that Jesus did when he died on the cross and rose again is he gave us a free will. We have the same free will that Adam had in the garden, okay? Except in Jesus, it's got to be much better. Stronger. Yeah, you got people that go out and speak to tornadoes. I mean, check that out. You got people who will lay on the bed when their body is just not functioning right and declare the word of the Lord. And so, I think that's very important. So, if you understand that you are free from the controlling power of sin. Everybody say, "I'm free from the controlling power of sin." Sin has no right, has no authority, no dominion to rule over me. If you understand that, and I believe we're a church that does, then do you not also know that you are free from the controlling power of sickness? A long time ago, I used to do a voice. Don't do it anymore. How many of you are young enough to remember Flip Wilson? An awesome thing happened a few months ago. They had a Flip Wilson marathon on, and I watched a lot of those old shows. But if you remember Flip Wilson, you remember the one thing he did was the voice of Geraldine, his alter ego, and the phrase that became popular around the world was, "The devil made me buy that dress." And I could do that until one time Faye hit a tape recorder and recorded me. That was the end of Flip Wilson. The point is, the devil can't make you do anything. I want to say that again. The devil can't make you do anything. Now, immediately I can imagine what happens is we think of, he can't make me sin. Well, that's true. He can't make you sin. People sin because they choose sin, okay? But let's just don't stop there. He also can't make you sick. You can choose to receive or accept sickness. I want to talk about that tonight. So number two, are you convinced that you are free from sickness? Now, I'm convinced I'm free from sin because there's nothing that anybody's going to do to make me sin except my own will. You can say, well, you shouldn't have made me mad. You can say, my family treated me bad. You can say, everybody's criticizing me, and do something stupid, but it was still your own will. So you can't use everybody else as a cop-out. You can't use the devil as a cop-out. I even knew a situation. I spoke with someone recently who's upset at God about something. You can't use God as a cop-out. It's your free will. All right? If we got that down, then also understand that the devil can't make you sick. He's not that powerful. He wants to make us think that he is. Remember the scripture that says, talking about the devil as a roaring lion, he comes as a roaring lion. I hope everybody in the world's getting this by now. The devil's not a roaring lion. He's an impersonator. Okay? Just like I spoke of Flip Wilson doing Geraldine, he was doing an impersonation. He's done other. I love Reverend Leroy. my alter ego. But the devil is an impersonator. Matthew 4, verse 23 says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people." So I want to say this to you. We believe that we are healed by the stripes of Jesus. We don't believe that we're going to be healed. We need to get our mind focused on the fact that healing already belongs to us. But Jesus never refused to heal anybody in the New Testament, in the Gospels. He never turned anyone away. He was always compassionate about suffering people. I can't be in a place, even if it's downtown, and there's somebody that's in a wheelchair or got a short leg or some form of physical defect, that compassion doesn't rise up in me. I just start praying. You say, well, do you go lay hands on them? No, not always. Given the opportunity, yes, but I pray anyway. I mean, I'm looking for the day. You can look for whatever you want to. I'm looking for the day that as I walk down the street and there are sick and afflicted and I just begin to release that that's in me, that I just watch people straighten up and their bodies healed and whole and the reaction that comes out of that. I mean, can you imagine? Sir? Peter's shadow. Can you imagine what people... It may be some heathen that don't even believe in God. That might be an atheist by their claim, you know. Atheists don't believe in God. I don't believe in atheists. But can you imagine them knowing just in a moment's time the supernatural power of God? You say, when are you going to quit believing that? Never. Never. So we need to get that kind of, I call it kind of bulldog faith. You know, we're never going to let go of a truth. Number three, are you convinced that you're free from poverty? Now, keep in mind, we're redeemed from the curse of the law. Say, I'm redeemed. All right, we're redeemed from the curse, sin, sickness, and poverty. So we got this I'm redeemed from sin thing down, okay? I believe this church is catching it more than any other church that I've ever been a part of, that we're redeemed from sickness also. But I think a lot of folks struggle with poverty because poverty is such a strong, I mean, you watch families, you watch your children, you watch neighbors, you look around and there seems to be a lot of lack. I picked a very simple scripture, or chose rather, a very simple scripture, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that God was not only the Father of Jesus, but also His God? Do you remember how that in the Gospels, in the ministry of Jesus, that Jesus always referred to God as my Father? What one time did Jesus refer to Him as God? On the cross. My God, why have You forsaken Me? And the Father didn't forsake Him. There's another story to that. God has blessed us. It says, who has blessed us? Everybody say, I'm blessed. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, most preachers have no problem with that verse. Okay? I'm telling you, most preachers have no problem with that verse because they believe we are blessed with spiritual blessings, and spiritual has nothing to do with the natural. Well, I'm sorry, but it does, because everything that's natural manifests out of the supernatural. Remember the warehouse thing. Where do you think that is? I mean, it's not sitting out in your backyard, not literally. It's in the supernatural. And you take... I saw a picture, Jay, a vision, wherever that gorder is. I saw you take it off. Just and give it up. Do you know that that's how you change body? But you're waiting there. Okay, God, I'm waiting for You just to do something. God said, I'm waiting for You to do something. just get up and do something. You know, you need to act in faith. You know, when Jesus was walking on the water and Peter saw Him, they were afraid. But when they knew that it was Jesus, Peter said, if it's really You, allow me to come out there with You. People criticized Peter because he sank, but you understand, Peter walked on the water, okay, even if for a time. But Peter had to do something. He had to, because how many knows that if you throw a rock out on the water, what will happen? It'll sink. That's why it's beyond me how ships that weigh tons and tons and tons of metal float on the water. Well, that's a whole other story. But the point is, here's Peter who's thinking, okay, I'm going to step out of the boat. I'm going to get on the water. And he must have thought, surely I'm not going to make it. Surely I'm going to sink. I don't know what happened there. The Bible doesn't say. But he stepped out of the boat on the water. So what I'm saying to you is sometimes you've got to take a step of faith. All right? And so he stepped on the water. And how many know that even though he walked for a season, is that for real? Even though he walked for a season, I never know. Even though he walked for a season for the third time, when he sank, you know what happened to him? See, you know why people don't want to step out in faith? Because they're afraid they'll sink. So it's safer just not to step out in faith and take the risk, because God might let me down. No, God's not going to let you down. Jesus was right there and reached out and pulled him up. Yeah. And it's perfectly natural to be supernatural. It should be. All right. Have you noticed, and we've talked about this through several ministers in the church, but have you noticed that the poverty mentality in America? Now, a lot of people notice the poverty mentality in other countries. But let's let other countries set aside for now, because some countries, third world countries, are doing tremendous things. But just notice America, the poverty mentality. What America needs is a change in the way that it thinks. That's repentance, metanoia. Change the way you think. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18 says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth." And then he says why he does that, "that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers as it is this day." Now, what I want you to know is the previous verse, even though I didn't show you this, you can look it up yourself. In verse 17, it has some similar wording, but they were trying to take credit for their wealth. And God speaks here in verse 18 and says, "You shall remember the Lord your God." He's the one, not yourself. How many know we can become self-dependent? You know how I can make it? I'll just work a few extra hours. That's a whole lot safer than stepping out of the boat and trusting God, for some people, okay? For the flesh, I'll say. But God wants to bless people that His covenant may be established. Now, this again was pre-cross, so how much better do you think that is after the cross? So God gives the power to get wealth. God will show you how, but you know what I think the greatest tool in getting power to get wealth is? Trusting Jesus. Saying what the Word of God says. I believe that only a believer who is convinced, you know, we've got to become convinced of some things, okay? What was it King Agrippa said in the New Testament? He said, "I have become fully persuaded." And that's may not be all in the right place, but so only a believer who is convinced that they are free from sin, sickness, and poverty will refuse to be moved by what's going on around them just because it's there. So here we are. We just heard a testimony tonight. A tornado woke them up. It was over their house, on their property. Obvious. Other places around showed no damage. But they're right in the path, asleep. And don't you know that because they trust God, God was already on the job? And yet, the first thing they do when they wake up is begin to speak the Word, as though it was the natural thing to do. It's natural to be supernatural. So it's important to be convinced. That's why we're talking about healing. Are you convinced? So we need to train ourselves to only be moved by the Word of God. Now, here's what that means, and the last scripture we'll look at, and we're stopping for tonight, is 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. So here's how this works, and this is just my opinion. You go to pay the bills. Now, this is not something that was brand new to you. You deal with this every month. And you do all the figures. Okay, how many of you do that? You by a budget, okay, you figure up this is what I gotta pay and here's all this other things and then it looks like everything's good. All of a sudden you remember there was one other bill that came in, and then I've gotta buy groceries and gasoline and medicine or whatever else you've got. And then it looks so tight, it's like, what am I gonna do? Here's a clue. Trust God. Trust God. So how do I trust God? A pain comes up in my body. We talked last time about our reaction to a headache. Do you know why it's important to react to a headache? You say, well, some things are just so small, it's no big deal. I'm just not going to pay attention to it. Here's why it's important to react to a headache, to a twinge, to what could possibly be a symptom of arthritis. Here's why it's important. Because when we address the molehills, we never have to address mountains. A mountain, even in the natural, is a lot harder to move than a molehill. If you've ever lived in California, One of the things that is there, and I assume there's some in Missouri, is gophers. I've killed so many gophers in my childhood that I don't ever care if I ever see another gopher. I wouldn't recommend a gopher for stew. I've heard of rabbit dumplings, and we tried to cook. I had Faye cook a rabbit one time. It'll never happen again. Wasn't her fault. Just it was probably the Easter Bunny. What are you going to do when you have no other way out? You have no other source. You going to trust God? So here's what you can do. Father, because I do this every day, and I'm not saying this about me, because I believe you do it too, but I just want to encourage you. Father, I thank you that in spite of what my body is currently feeling, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I have a covenant with you, God. You have given covenant that says you are the God, you are Jehovah Rapha, the God who stitches me up, the God who doctors me. And Father, I don't have to put up with this no more than I have to put up with a tornado. I mean, no, a tornado could do a lot more damage than a headache. But we're not putting up with tornadoes. Why are we not putting up with tornadoes? What are we doing? We're speaking to them. In the name, I mean, I can see some of y'all. I can see your faces. Y'all, that's a Missouri term. It's also in the Bible. Paul used it. I can see some of y'all. You're in the name of Jesus. You got that look on your face. In the name of Jesus, you will not touch down here. You will dissipate, go to some other uninhabited place, and you can touch down there, but you will not destroy no lives, no property. You will do no damage. That I can just see it on your faces. And yet, a twinge of something comes. I ain't with you. I can't see that one, but I'm trusting. In the name of Jesus, I'll not put up with you no more than I'll put up with a tornado. You will not rule in my body. You know, a month and a half ago, I came out of compression stockings, and I had to go back to them a time or two of late. And but you know what? I have... The first day I did that, I fell under all kind of condemnation. Now, I didn't put up with it, but it came, okay? The enemy was trying to mess with me. And you know what? I've decided I'll wear them if I want to, and if I don't, I won't. So I wore them all day today, and I took them off tonight. And so what do you do when something persists? It bothers you. There's an issue. In the name of Jesus, I'm not putting up with you. You don't belong in my body. I'm the owner of my body. You're not. Oh, man, I so wanted to get into stealing from the devil. Some folks have been stealing from the devil. You know why that is? He's the owner of sickness. Sickness don't belong to God. You can't take it from God because God ain't giving it out. The devil's giving it out, and some folks have been stealing from the devil. You can't keep something that don't belong to you. You're a thief. Sorry. That was the cranking up part of the message I wasn't going to do tonight. You have to stand. Don't change your confession when you have to stand. I'm proud of y'all. I'm proud of you because here's a church, the only church I know of, that actually is adamant about speaking to tornadoes. Be just as adamant about speaking to a headache, pain, the doctor's report. I get them all the time. I know what the doctor says. I know what the reports say. I'm just not in agreement. Do what you got to do, but understand you're still speaking to your body and saying, in the name of Jesus, you will not rule in my life. If you've got a bad habit, you need to speak to that in the name of Jesus. You do not have dominion over me. You'll not rule in my life. If it's a sickness type situation, you could have been told, everybody in the family's got it. You're going to have it too. It's just natural for our family. We're just constructed weird, and it's just completely natural. We're all going to have it. You don't have to accept that. I can easily make my family upset because I don't accept the stuff that... I'm sorry. I'm going with God. I don't care who gets mad at me. I'm going with God. How do you feel about that? I mean, are you that convinced? I'm going with God. I've lost some pastor friends because I'm going with God. Well, that's okay. I'm still going to love them, but you got to decide. I'm going with God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Healing. I'm convinced.